It is an Ajax, yes. Well, want to thank you guys for having me this morning. I do want to take time to specifically thank Pastor Peter and Pastor Carrie Ann for allowing me the privilege to be here with y'all. It is always a privilege to be able to share God's word. Amen. Especially if you knew my story and where I came from. And where God has now brought me now. Again, every time that I have the awesome privilege to do this, I can't help but just give praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into this, all right? Father, we thank you. We give you praise for all that you've done for each and every one of us, all that you're doing in this very moment. And all that you're going to continue to do in our lives. God, as we go to your word, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray right now that for every single person that is here, God, that we would open up our hearts to hear and to receive from you. The very fact that we're in this room right now or watching online, it's not by accident. And so, God, help us to really open up our hearts, and not just open up our hearts just to hear, but open up our hearts then to respond to what it is that you're saying. So, Lord, have your way in and through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like you were like alive, but still kind of feeling dead at the same time? Like, especially those moments, you know, when you're like, I don't know anybody into like social media and you get on your phone and you just start scrolling. Anybody been there where you just start scrolling? And then like 2 hours later, you're like, how the heck am I still scrolling on this phone? Or how about those people? Have anybody, you know, watched Netflix? And as you're watching Netflix, you just watch episode after episode and it gets to that point where it says, are you still wanting to watch? And you're like, how did I get there? It's like we're alive, but at the same time, we're dead. It's like we're breathing, but not being. My wife and I, we've been married for 18 years. Been together for 23 years. We have four kids. And I remember not too long ago, we were in a prayer meeting at our church, and our second oldest. And I don't know if anybody knows the life of a pastor's kid, but pastor's kids, we just drag them everywhere. They have no choice. And so our second oldest, she got dragged into the prayer meeting, and then she ended up falling asleep. As she was asleep, she ends up getting up in the middle of like while we're doing this prayer meeting, and she just gets up, okay? And as she gets up, she, in her sleep, picks up a water bottle and just starts like dashing water on everybody. We're like, what the heck is going on? And then what did we realize is that she was sleepwalking. Again, a lot of us sometimes we don't even realize it. We may look alive, but on the inside, we're dead, which leads me to the title of my message this morning. Zombies to Zion. Zombies to Zion. There's this show, I've never watched it, but I've seen it as in passing, The Walking Dead. I remember when I first kind of just glanced at it, somebody had it on. I was at a family member's house and I went to another room, they had it on, and I just honestly I got drawn. If I'm gonna be honest, don't judge me. I got drawn to see what this whole show was all about. And at this moment, as I'm watching the show, I see what is going on. You have like these zombies and they're just walking. And I remember in that very moment, the Lord kind of speaking to me and saying, a lot of my people are just the same way. It's like we're walking zombies, not made alive. We're emotionally numb, addicted to dopamine hits, surviving on screen time, likes, and validation. And we're in a culture obsessed with chasing what we want for life, our clout, our success. Our attention, yet culture feels more disconnected and dead than ever before. The main passage that we're going to look at this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, doesn't just describe bad people. It describes dead people. But here's the twist. Jesus doesn't make bad people good. He makes dead people alive. Bottom line, if you don't remember anything else from this morning, remember this. God's grace grabs, but he doesn't just grab us, he then grounds us for the purpose then to grow us. Let's read the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2. It says this. Technical difficulties, my fault. It says this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul, the Apostle Paul here, is describing us and what we once were, that we once were dead. But the reality is that we've been made alive. Amen? Point number one is this. You were a dead person walking. But this is who you once were. By nature, we were children of wrath. You can still be that, but if you choose to believe in Jesus, you don't have to be that. Paul's not saying, hey, you were kind of lost. He's saying you were dead. You were limping. Not confused, but you were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. We could do nothing to save ourselves. We were hopeless. And by nature, we were children of wrath. North American culture idolizes this idea of freedom, right? This idea of our feelings and fame. Yet it ends up oftentimes very anxious and suicidal. Why is that? Where's Fifield? Fifield, come on up for a second real quick. What the world says is freedom oftentimes is a lie from the pit of hell. What we believe that makes us alive is not making us alive. And here's I want to illustrate this for you guys to understand what I mean by this. The world will say living in freedom means you do what you want to do. You make up what you want to become. And here's what happens, and this is what Jason is representing right now. It's that idea of becoming what you want to become. And so what ends up happening as you put your trust in you doing what it is that you think is best for you, here's what that's like. Hold my hand real quick and be strong. It's like this. It's like, say I want to pursue Jesus, right? And we're saying I want to be free, but I want to be free doing life the way that I want to live my life. Making all about me. And really all this becomes, and we don't even realize it when we make it about ourselves and not about Christ. That is bondage. It is shackles. We don't even realize it. The reason why a lot of us are living dead, we may look alive, but we're living dead, is because we put our trust in ourselves. We put our trust in society. We put our trust in culture and not in the living God. As we follow Jesus and forget about what the world says, even what you say, that's when you can pursue him and actually live free and live alive. Amen. Make some noise for Pastor Jason. Romans 1 echoes this same sentiment in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness, they suppress the truth. They make it about themselves. Paul says that the reason why this wrath is being revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness is because we actually believe this lie about God, that God is there to make it all about us, when it's all about Him. He's given us this opportunity to be made alive. But a lot of us, the reason why we're still living dead is we've made it about ourselves and not about Him. We were enemies of God. But He didn't leave it to be that way. But you know what's interesting? For a lot of us, then we come to that saving knowledge of God, and then the way that we live our lives, we still live as though we are dead, making it about ourselves and not about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, can we talk to our neighbor? Say, neighbor. Come on, talk to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. It's all about Him. And I'll turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I'm sorry you're my second choice. But it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Here's the reality. Without Jesus, we're just dressed up corpses. Sin doesn't just make us dirty, it makes us dead. And dead people can't save themselves. God's wrath has been revealed to all unwickedness and godliness. For those who trust in Jesus, we can be made alive. If it was about us coming to Jesus and then us doing all the work ourselves and making it about what we can do and what we can become, the reality is there would be no reason for Jesus to have to come in the first place. Because we could save ourselves. We can make ourselves alive. We can do all the things, but the reality is that is not truth, friends. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Without Jesus, we're just dressed up corpses. But that's why I love this next part of Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 4. It says this: but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He says, but God. That but God, it changes everything. You didn't just wake yourself up spiritually. He did. You had the opportunity to slide into His story when your story wasn't even worth telling. Which leads to point number two. And this is important for us to understand. His mercy moved, and you slid into, watch this, His story. He didn't slide into yours. You slid into His story. You now have the privilege to be made alive with Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. We like to make it all about us, especially North American culture. We follow God so that we can be blessed. We follow God so that we can have this. We follow God so that we can receive. No, we follow God to follow God because He's enough. It's about Him. We got the opportunity to slide into His story. That's grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But God, He allowed us to slide into His story. It says, but God, being rich in mercy because He truly loved us, He has made us alive in Christ. He has allowed us to live as we were originally designed, friends, to live. And he gave us this opportunity, even when we were dead in our trespasses, to be adopted into his kingdom and heavenly family. He seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's saying we get to experience, watch this, heaven now. And again, we don't deserve it. But he wants to show us now his immeasurable riches of his grace. It's not just about saying Jesus loves me, but seeing how the gospel hits you in real life. Not this idea that Jesus is saving me back then or he saved me back then. Jesus is continuing to save me right now and will continue to save me. We got to continue to remind ourselves of this. He then goes on to say in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And again, watch this. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. It's all his doing. He's the one who made that decision. Which leads to point number 3, his grace saved you. His grace saved you. When I say that word grace, it means unmerited favor, which means simply getting something that you do not deserve. He saved you. The idea that you've been saved is not this thing where God is looking around, and watch this, looking around for people that are behaving good and doing all the right things, and so he saves only them. He's not picking all the good children. No, we were all enemies. All of us. None of us were perfect. None of us were holy, but he's a holy God. So him being a holy God, in order for us to be in relationship with him, we have to be made holy. And there was nothing that we could do to make us holy. So what does he do? He sends his son. And he dies in the worst of ways, living that perfect life. So that now when people see us, they don't see us. When God looks down at us, he doesn't see us. He sees his son and his sacrifice. He has covered us. When he looks down, he's not seeing you in your mess. He's seeing his son. And it's by his grace that you have been saved. You believe in him. Don't believe in yourself. That's the mistake that a lot of Christians are doing. We're making it about what I can do. And then we mess up, right? And then what do? We let the enemy kind of just seep in. And what do? We start condemning ourselves. Oh my God, I got to be better. Or I got to do this. Or I got to... Listen, just go to him. Trust in him. He has saved you, not because you did all the right things to be made good. All you have to do is trust and believe in him, and he now has saved you by grace. His grace. The enemy wants all of us. Just listen to what I'm saying. Then in those moments that we mess up, like, oh man, I gotta be better. Or why am I like this? Or why do I continue to do this? And do you know what you're doing in that moment? Listen to the talk that you're giving. You're making it about you. In that moment, instead of saying all the things that you're messing up and doing wrong, why not say this? Thank you, Jesus, that even in my mess, you have saved me. This is why he says in Romans chapter 8, there is no longer condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And that we're going to live with, we have to live with the understanding of by his spirit and not our flesh. What ends up happening as we live in our flesh, walking dead, is what we end up doing, we don't even realize we give the foothold to the enemy to condemn us, and we go down this path where we just go further and further and further away from God. And it's not like God has left you. He's always been there. But you're listening to the lies. His grace saved you. Everybody say, his grace. saved me. Say it again. His grace saved me. Can we give God praise for that? His grace saved us, friends. And what's amazing about His grace, nothing can separate us from His love. Jesus came for all 30 and a half years of His life. He worshiped God in the way we didn't. He dies and He takes away all of our sins, past, present, and future. And allowed us to be transferred from darkness into kingdom light. From children of wrath to children of God, based on no merit of our own. Nothing can change this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we don't believe that we have been saved, like really been saved, from the penalty of sin, then we'll continue to live in shame and guilt and try to find another thing for us to do to atone for our sins. We'll try to live a better life. No, just go to Him. Live for Him. Look to Him. You know what happens as you look to Him and you rest in His love? His love transforms you on the inside. His spirit begins to grow on. It's like you feeding His spirit on the inside. He's like, the spirit's like, give me more, give me more. Tell me more about how great I am. And I'm going to then make you great amongst the people of God. Because understand this, I've now adopted you into my kingdom and heavenly family. Which leads to the final point. Point number four, know whose you are now. The mistake a lot of believers make after following Jesus and they still is that they still live in guilt and shame. Those who aren't followers won't understand what I'm talking about. So if you're in this room, you're not a follower, you may not understand what I'm talking about. Because the reality is that you actually haven't received His love. You've decided to suppress the truth, and that's where you're at. But for those who have decided to follow Jesus, you need to understand what you've been made alive to be. You haven't been made alive. You haven't been set free just to be, say, though, hey, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. And now I just wait to get to heaven. No, you've been saved now. And you now can actually experience and get a glimpse of heaven now. The freedom now. Peace now. You can receive a lot of that now. The biggest thing, you can have a relationship with Him now. When you're struggling with a sin, our response needs to be we go to Him, not to ourselves. Don't shame yourself. It just only leads to self-hatred. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Verses 10 to 14, and just listen as the Lord speaks. Because every time we read His word, it's like He's speaking to us in this very moment. But the Apostle Paul, he says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for His good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles were in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at a time separated from Christ. In the past, you were at a time. Back then, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, again, there's that but. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Do you know who you're trusting in? in those moments where things don't go maybe the way we know it has to go? Are you trusting in yourself? Not who you've been made to be in Christ as a new creation. You're looking to yourself to save yourself from sin for some reason. You're looking to yourself to pay the penalty of sin. And subconsciously, you think that by beating yourself up that God will be satisfied and forgive you. But what you don't understand is that when you do that, Jesus' death and resurrection, what you're saying is Jesus' death and resurrection wasn't sufficient for your sins. And that his grace isn't sufficient enough. And he's not pleased with that. That's not what he wants. He wants you to live alive. You once were zombies, but now you've been brought into Zion. What we need to do is when we commit the sin is thank Jesus for forgiving me for what I just did. Or even better, when you're about to sin, say thank you, God, for saving me from the thing that I was thinking about doing. Be interesting how many times when you do that, that by his strength within you, you'll turn away from that thing. We just got to make it about Jesus, though. Not about religion. Not about checkmark, look what I did, or what I'm doing. But living a life where everything that you're doing, it's for praise unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's when we begin to not just live as though we're what we look like alive, but we're not alive. It's found in his death and resurrection. So even now, like as we're here, here's my prayer. Maybe you've been living and you've been just kind of going through the motions. Man, we need a... Wasn't it really cool when the music just kicked in? I was trying to make a joke, but okay, it didn't work. But we got to make it like we truly are alive, not by lip service. But that as people see us, they see him. They don't see a bunch of people just kind of going through the motions like those zombies in that show. No, they see an alive people that actually know what it is, that they actually don't see us, they see him. You know that that term Christian? It wasn't actually something that the people of God gave themselves. The term Christian was given almost kind of like to mock them. But initially that term Christian came from the people that weren't followers of the way, that weren't followers of Christ. They looked at them and they saw them living differently. And they're like, yo, what's up with those people? Why is it that they look different? Or why is it they just experience things? And honestly, it makes us look bad. How are they experiencing this? You have all these different people from all these walks of life doing life together and looking like they're happy. Who are these people? And what is this all about? What ends up happening? They find out that they're followers of this guy who claims that he died and rose again, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so similar to like what we call ourselves, people that are from Canada, we call them Canadians, they call them Christians or Christians. It is to say this, when people look at their lives without you having to say it, could they call you a Christian? Could they tell that you are a follower of Christ, that there's something different, that you are alive?